Good morning, everybody, and I have to do a sound check just before I go any further. Phyllis, can you hear me? My wonderful guest, can you hear me, Phyllis?
Yes, I can. I can hear you loud and clear.
There you go. Thank you very much. So let me shut off the music and tell everybody who that was. Welcome to today's edition of Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Just before the show, my hand accidentally hit the mute button, I thought. Okay, so I wasn't sure if people could hear me or not, and I just had to ask that. By that wonderful woman who answered my call for help is Phyllis Wolfram, who is the Executive Director of the Council of Administrators of Special Education at CASECEC.org. And we're going to talk about top-of-mind items in special education for local directors of special education, which is near and dear to our heart, considering, okay, that we're the American Consortium for Equity in Education. All right, and equity has a lot to do with special education, as you know. Please go over to ace-ed.org, check out all the wonderful things that we do over there, including SEL Today, one of our new sites, which is linked, and also teacher retention. We are very concerned about that, and I have a feeling Phyllis and I are going to be talking about that today. So everything's at ace-ed.org. Click through, see our magazine. The podcasts are over there, et cetera, et cetera. Now I can say good morning to my friend Phyllis. How are you today, Phil?
I am doing great, especially since I'm talking to you, Larry.
Oh, thanks, pal. Appreciate that. You always brighten my day.
There's always such energy when I'm talking with you, and I have this big old smile on my face, and I can't wait to share some great things going on for CASE and the Council for Exceptional Children, and our partnership with them, and lots and lots of activity for special ed leaders in our country to get on board with. That's the momentum going, and we want everyone to be a part of it.
And in tough, crazy times, I got to tell you, and the challenges are just amazing. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you what's top of mind. That's going to be my first question. Your special ed, you talk to these people all over the country, Phyllis, the special ed directors in school districts, okay? Number one thing, what's on their mind? Number one, right off the bat.
Number one thing right now is educator shortage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What
horrible.
Plays into that? Yeah, it is. It is. It's not one organization or one person's or one group of persons' issue. It is an all education issue. And I think so many times we maybe say, well, what are those special ed administrators going to do about shortage? Well, special ed administrators can recruit and recruit and recruit, but if there's no supply to meet the demand, it is everyone's issue. And, one of the perspectives that I share is that I do believe that the U.S. Department of Education and our legislators have a role in this. Why? We're implementing a mandated program, a federally mandated program. So when you federally mandate something, you got to put some power behind it to help that be implemented down at the local level. And I don't mean
when you say that, what kind of power are you looking for them to put in there? What?
Power. I would.
And I agree with you, by the way. I agree with you. But just what are you looking for?
There needs to be this major campaign for awareness of what an extraordinary opportunity and what a great career it is to be a teacher in the United States of America. I'll go a step further, not just a teacher, but a special education teacher, how you can impact lives of young people. And we need to promote that. We need to share I guess I'm so passionate about it. I did it for 35 years. And I loved every minute of it. I can't say there weren't ups and downs to it, and all my colleagues would tell you that. But the people that I work with every day and talk to every day love their jobs. They've had a hard time the last couple years, but they're passionate about that, what they do. And they're fulfilling not only that personal satisfaction of having an honorable and an admirable career, but they're really impacting the lives of others in a very positive way.
And I don't know if you heard me say this at the very beginning, but we just started a new web page that's linked over from ace-ed.org, and that's teacher-retention.com, okay? And so it's all about teacher retention, all right? And it has to do with some training that we've found that's absolutely wonderful from a woman named Amelia Gamble. You can go over there. I'll write you later. You can check it out. It's teacher-retention.com. But I'll tell you, Phil, this is what you said is the number one, in my opinion, the number one issue that's out there right now, because it's everywhere. And especially, I'm going to give you a statistic that will make you sick in the stomach in a few minutes. I was talking to a nice big-sized district in Georgia last week, all right? And the gentleman I was talking to, great guy, okay, said 20% of his teachers, 25%, okay, are uncertified. But he said in special ed, it's over 50%.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, when I asked him, because they put on a job fair in the town where they are to try to attract people to become teachers, and he told me that they were able to sign up 40 people. And I said, well, that's wonderful. He said, yeah, but none of them are certified. They just
right.
want to, I
mean, right.
I admire them for doing this. They want to come in and see if they like teaching. But they're mm-hmm. not teachers, if I may, you have to say, to be blunt about it. Okay, they're not certified. They haven't had training, and they've got good hearts, and they want to give it a try. And it's special ed. I mean, special ed is a good example of special. You have to be specially trained. Okay,
right.
Not everybody can do this. All right,
right.
And it's a one, like you said, it's a wonderful and fulfilling profession. All right, but my God, what are we going to do here? And the cohorts, here I go on my rant, the cohorts in the education schools are way, way down. All right, it's driving me nuts. And I think that the government, I think you're right, but I think they need more than a campaign. They got to say, mm-hmm. be a teacher, teach for 10 years, and we'll pay your student loans. Be a special ed teacher, which you're really missing, and we'll give you an extra 20%. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
But go ahead. You go ahead. Here I go on my rant. I'm sorry.
I
stole your thunder
there. I didn't
mean
to stop that. That soapbox message was good. Let me tell you some things that are happening that I would really suggest people tune into. So the Council for Exceptional Children and the CEDAR Center, which is a federally funded project out of the U.S. Department of Education at the Office of Special Education Programs, they've taken the lead. And there are, 12, 15 organizations. CASE is one of them. The School Psychs is one of them. Elementary School Principal. The
Earl. Kaylin, my good friends. Yep.
Yeah, the Instructional Support Personnel Coalition, OSERS was a partner in this. So what is happening is there is a 12-part series to address this critical shortage. It's called From Information to Implementation, Combating Shortages of Educators Serving Students with Disabilities. It starts April the 14th. It's free.
And where is it? Where would they get it? Where would they how do you find it?
Go to exceptionalchildren.org. Exceptionalchildren.org.
Yeah, that's CEC.
It is CEC's website. There's a link on the front page. And when you click on that link, you'll see I think 10 of the 12 series are up there. I believe they're going to be recorded, and once you register, you'll have access to it. You can tune in to the specific topic that might be of interest, whether that's a superintendent, whether that's a state-level leader or a local leader, and you're needing some information. But I also think this would be a good series for a group of people, some local leaders, some state leaders, some school board members.
Yeah.
To all come together and say, what's our plan in our local area? What's our plan in our region? What's our plan in our state to address those needs that we have, address the educator shortage? Because it's not only just special education where they're seeing those shortages. We We also know that superintendents are retiring at an incredible
like
rate.
Like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have it's a mess out there. I have to say it that way. It's a mess out there.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. We've got to have good leaders to hire good teachers.
That's
and
right.
That's really mm-hmm.
You know, and,
really
and the point is well taken, because if you don't have a steady and solid leadership, okay, you're not going to be able to attract over a long period of time and retain people who are coming into the field. You know, I had an idea while we were talking. I'm trying to build up this teacher retention website we have with all kinds of information. Would you or your group like to write an article or two about why become a special ed teacher? And we could put that up there, and school districts might want to use it to encourage the grow your own or whatever the case may be. Would that be a good thing to do? I mean, you're welcome to do it.
Absolutely, Larry. I think that is great. You know, one of the things also that and don't ask me any specific questions, because now you're going to really tax my brain. But
you know, that's
that's
a lead, because they aren't going to ask you specific questions. But go ahead.
I know.
Yeah.
But our organization, the Council for Exceptional Children, they also did a State of the Profession survey with educators.
Yep.
It's on their website. You may have seen that. It's been out for a little over a year, maybe a little bit longer than that. Because I think it came out right at pre-COVID, and we had some conversation about it. And it talks about what teachers are looking for first and foremost, what keeps them in the field. And some of that is leadership. One of the top conditions for retention was having a good leader. And so that's really important. We will definitely get something for your website up there about
right.
Why
I'm gonna follow up with you about that, and just to remind you, because I know you have a lot on your plate. Believe me, I know. I know Ms. Wolfram, okay? But we're going to hound you on this one, okay? It's really cool. I just wanted to make a point. Lori Vanderplug, who is the Associate Executive Director for Professional Affairs, and that's getting people more into special ed over at CEC, your good friend and mine. I got a show with her next week on April 12th, all right?
Yeah.
And she's bringing on, I'll send it to you if you don't want to, if you can't listen, okay? Mississippi Department of Education, okay, and the Georgia team, okay, talking about what they're doing. These two states are standouts. So Wina Lowe is the special ed director for the Georgia Department of Education, and they're both going to come on with Lori. Because these two states, Lori has told me, are really, really good, Mississippi and Georgia, in recruitment efforts. So we're trying to share that, and we'll do more work with them next week, okay, on April 12th. Okay, so just so you know, what everybody can know. So, you know, it's a 9 a.m. show.
She'll be talking about the webinar series, and Georgia is featured in one of those, and so is Mississippi. So, the team works really hard to put those people together and work on that webinar. So that'll be a great show. That'll be a great show.
You know, and I got to ask, you know, and this is weird. You know, the states and the feds, they're always mandating things, okay, for special education. All right, but I have to say most special ed administrators and teachers kind of know what they need to do anyway. And it's easy to make a mandate and stand up politically and say, I voted for this. But nobody bothers to ask, did you vote for the money for us to do it? Okay? No, I didn't bother to do that. I just like the idea. Well, I like the idea, too. I'd like to have a pet elephant here. Okay? It's just that if you mandate that, you're going to have to feed the elephant and build a compound. Okay? And that's why that's not mandated. And with the Fed, what's going on with these people? I mean, have they stopped all the mandates? Do we need more mandates? I mean, how's it all come together? What do they expect out of you folks? Jeez.
Jesus, right. I think sometimes in our frustration, we go that path. But I'm always optimistic, Larry. I'm always trying to look on the positive side. And in CASE and CEC and a number of the other professional organizations, we have been having some conversation with our new director of OSEP, Valerie Williams. She's new to position a couple months now. Director of the Office of Special Education Programs is Valerie Williams. And so we have been engaging in some conversation. I think Valerie, now that things are opening up, she'll be at our conference in November. I know she's getting out. She wants to hear what's happening in the profession. So I think that's one thing. We've got to keep that connection going and give them a taste of what it's like every day in a local school. And I think sometimes at that level, our leaders have not been educators, or they have not been in a public school in a while, and to know what that's like and to see that on a daily basis. I want to challenge them all to go spend one full week, not one day, not one hour, but one full week every day in a public school to get a feel for what that's really like. I think that would be
boy, that would be great.
I know, right?
That would be it. Boy, do I wish that would happen. Okay, I got to tell you, I asked you for the number one priority, and I absolutely agree with you, it's the educator shortage. Okay, I'll now cover for the next question. Okay, part two, what's number two? Is it funding? What's number two?
It is the funding. And, the president's budget just came out. And so here's what people need to do. So here, I'm going to say it. Here's what people need to do, Larry, okay?
Good, say it.
The president's budget came out. There are some increases in his proposal. There's a 22% increase in Part B funds for special education. For preschool, there was a 23% increase. For Part C, in working with infants and toddlers, that's the birth to three program, there was an 88% proposed increase. But overall funding, there was a 24% increase requested in the president's budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when they did that for FY23, I'm not sure they had all the numbers. So some of our experts at the Committee for Education Funding are saying this is kind of a level funding deal from 22 to 23. So we're not really sure that they had all these accurate numbers before the president's budget came out. However, now what happens next is we know that the House and the Senate will propose their budgets. So now everybody's got to get on board, and everybody's got to play nice together, and everyone has to come up with...
I wish they would.
What those proposed numbers are. So we like to think that education is a bipartisan issue, right? That we're all a part of it, and it's not... there's no separation, but... that would be foolish to think that way, but we like to think that way. So what our members, what educators across the nation need to be doing is paying attention to what these numbers say. And they need to be contacting their senators and their representatives and saying, we need some increases, steady increases that will come every year. You know, the ESSER's funding is going to run out. To get us through this hump and this situation that we're in as a result of the pandemic. But now we need to be looking to the future, and we need to continue to advocate for that 40% that was promised for special education back when Public Law 94-142 was first enacted. So it's important that we advocate. And you know how you can do that? Educators can come to our Special Education Legislative Summit that is occurring July 10th through the 13th in Washington, D.C. We will train you how to advocate. We will train you how to educate our senators and our representatives. We will go up on Capitol Hill. We will meet with those congressmen. We will meet with their staffers. Some of those staffers are really bright young people.
Oh, yeah.
And
without question.
They truly understand, and they are the voice many times to our representatives. But we are going back in person in July to be on Capitol Hill to educate and advocate for students with disabilities. And so we'll have three primary issues, Larry, and that will be addressing the educator shortage. That will be the full funding for IDEA. And the third one will be programs around mental health and social emotional learning.
Oh,
and I know that's a topic dear to your heart. So we carry three primary issues, because we don't want to confuse people. And we say these are our three initiatives. These are the three, as I say, top of mind, hot topics, critical needs in education right now. So we would invite people to come in July. I'm going to say July 10th through the 13th. And registration is not yet up, but it will be in the next couple of weeks for that event. And we invite people to come. And again, those three topics, we will be carrying that message as a united mm-hmm. voice up to Capitol Hill. So we're very excited about that opportunity.
You should be. You should be. And walk the steps proudly up there. Okay, and they'll let you right in. All right, it's that simple. All right, and it's just so important. You know, I want you that third thing that you talked about. You know, that's important to us. We have social emotional learning. We write about it a lot in our magazine, and we have SELtoday.org, which is like a resource center type thing. But talk about it. And it struck me as you said this. You know, we always are asking regular teachers, if I may, classroom teachers, whatever you want to say, to teach SEL. But it seems to me the best people to teach it would be special ed people. They really have a connection to that. And I don't know how that all works. How's the SEL fit in, okay, with what a special ed teacher does? Talk about that, especially post-pandemic. And I don't think my idea of having a special ed teachers teach SEL is ever going to catch on, but it's just something that crossed my mind. But how does it – what's the importance of it within a special ed, and what are you looking for these days in SEL? Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I think first and foremost, what we know about our students with disabilities is sometimes their needs are greater. And what we know, what we've come out of with regard to the pandemic, is that the isolation that a number of our students and our families as well have experienced, the lack of interaction with peers might be, or our students with disabilities might be more affected yeah. by that. So I think mm-hmm. it is important for special educators to be connected with SEL. But here's the key, I think, to social emotional.
By the way, I agree with that without question. I think they automatically are. To be perfectly honest, special ed
yeah.
connected to SEL. That's an automatic thing with them.
But the way we approach our students and the way we deal with their trauma, the way we deal with some of the social issues that are facing them today, how they're handling their emotions. So we talk about social emotional learning. It really needs to be a culture in a school, and needs yeah. to be a school implementation, so that no matter who that student with a disability, because we know that the majority of our students with disabilities are integrated into the general education classroom. So no matter what that individual student's needs are, they are all over the school. They're in every, you know, in the cafeteria. They're in the physical education classes. They're in the English classes. They're in the math classes. So all teachers, it needs to be in you know, the curriculums that are available, and the cultures around social emotional learning need to be really embedded. Also, we've talked in the past, and I know you're very much aware of, when we think of that multi-tiered system of support, that social emotional learning and that curriculum needs to be built in that school-wide support system for all kids. But it's a critical need for our students with disabilities.
Wow, it really and truly is. Are there curriculums set up specifically, okay, for special ed SEL? Now I know there's a ton of SEL curriculum companies out there. Okay, I can tell you, just go to SEL Providers Association; they'll list them for you. Okay, but. For special ed in particular, are companies focusing on that?
Well, I think that – I don't know that is a very particular focus, because first and foremost, we know that all of our students with disabilities are first and foremost students. So I think as we look at those curriculums – yeah, they are adapted for every individual need. So I don't think that with regard to social-emotional learning that the curriculum would be different. How we implement the curriculum might be a little bit different. The angle that we take or a particular topic that we center our lessons around for students with disabilities might go a little bit in a different direction. But I think it's the curriculums, as I understand them, they can be tailored for any individual need for students across the school district, including those students with disabilities. And the thing is, Larry, you are right. There are so many opportunities for that, looking at those instructional resources around social-emotional learning.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it is a lot of good stuff. And I think as educators, one of the things sometimes we shy away from are salespeople or are those people who we think they can sell us something,
right.
And they do, but first and foremost, they want us to be aware of what they believe is a great service to our school and to our students, and we need to go into that mindset and open our minds to really looking at here's a resource that maybe I don't need right now, but I might need it in the future, and I should learn about everything that's out there and available to me.
Or I might have a friend who needs it. And I'll tell you, Phil, one of the things we believe in here, and what you just said is so accurate, because I tell this to a lot of people, so many educators see the industry, all right, the curriculum companies, the service companies, as a sales rep who comes and tries to sell them something. But in reality, most of those companies, they've put in a lot of effort. They have a lot of knowledge, okay? And when they build a product, they build it from that knowledge, and they want to share that knowledge, all right, with the educators. And that's why here we always – I always say that a lot of companies I work with, we want you to publish with us. We want you to talk about the good things you do. You're absolutely right. The industry is terrific. There are so many good people in it, many of them ex-educators, okay, who really know what's going on and will share that with you. So when the salesperson comes to knock, give a listen. You're going to learn some good stuff. I couldn't agree with you more.
And you know? Those companies are out there recruiting some of our educators because if they've used their product, they know it like the back of their hand, and they can implement it, and they can teach others how to implement it. So, and they are seeking many times those experts in a particular area to come and work for them to help them
build an even
better product. So,
And I'll tell you something else. The all the technology that's out there, we have a teacher shortage. We've already established that. All right. Technology, and I'm not saying it replaces a teacher, okay, but it can, if used properly, reduce the load. So we have fewer teachers. We have to spread them out as best as we can and spread out their knowledge and have them impact as many kids as they can. And the new technologies that are out there from the special ed companies, from any given company, really make sense. And that's why I can't thank you enough for bringing that up. It's rarely brought up here on the show, the industry voice.
Yeah,
you got to listen.
I think
that's where the innovation is coming from. Yeah.
Exactly. If I was hiring teachers today, I would make it a point to share with them the curriculum, the programs, the resources that I could make available to them in their classroom to make their jobs wonderful. So they're not creating curriculum. They're not creating lessons from the ground up. They have information. They have curriculum and the resources to implement this curriculum at their fingertips. And I would be using, the resources that I've purchased as a selling point to recruit and retain teachers.
Perfect. We are on top of this. You come with us, you're going to get state-of-the-art to teach with. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
Okay, good stuff. I love it. You're doing good today, Phil. This is great. I love it.
Thanks.
I'm
molding into my seat. I'm learning my job. After 2 years, I feel like I'm getting my feet on the ground a little bit.
I think your feet have been on the ground for a long time. You do a great job over there, Phyllis Wolfram. I got to tell you, you do a great job.
Thanks.
And and we are done here. I can let you go back to your morning nap. Was that where you were?
Yes, because that's on my calendar today, isn't
it? Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, right. Nobody works harder than Phyllis, everybody. Thanks, Phil, for being here today. I love talking to you. You know that. And I'll email you later today. We'll try to get some stuff editorially going on that new website. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Thank you again for the opportunity to share.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Okay. Be good. Take care. Give yourself a break. Go out and have a Starbucks. Okay.
Okay. I'll do that. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Phyllis Wolfram, everybody. Nobody better. Executive Director of CACE, CACE.org. And wow, you heard it all. All right. We're going to archive over it. ACE-ed.org. Listen to what she said. She's a smart lady. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.